Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter/X at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at Gromfo1980. You could also find his articles every week on playlikeajet.com. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could catch our podcast wherever you find your podcast at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you can find us at SportsWire Radio, which we're going through a website change. So just hang in, but definitely follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017 for all the updates that will be coming up very soon. So
also, I wanted to say, Chris, before you even move on, I wanted to say also that Play Like a Jet is going through a little bit of issue with their website. And we haven't been able to post articles yet, and on, you know, when we're able to, there's gonna be I'm gonna update everyone on when my articles come back up and everything like that. But right now, the website is going through some changes, and yeah, we'll give updates on when everything has been, you know, completed.
Okay, yeah, and keep and follow Play Like a Jet on Twitter for any updates as well. So, and we'll give you out the update. So Sharman, coming off the bye week, crazy week in the NFL. We'll get into that, but we got to get into the Jets first.
Yes.
Jets, Giants. Well, what are you thinking here?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to talk about the fact that it's kind of some kind of trap game because we beat the Eagles. The Eagles, one of the best teams in the NFL. You got to give it to them for what they do. What are the Jets? A struggling offense, an offense that hasn't reached its peak and hasn't even flowed for too long. I mean, the one positive is that Zach has been able to move the ball down the field. The one negative, or the probably prevailing negative, is the fact that Zach hasn't been able to punch the ball into the end zone enough, and they're last in the league in a lot of this stuff, which is a pretty bad look. The good look is the fact that there are things that are budding, you know, plants or seeds that are budding, but they haven't bloomed yet. That's where I think the offense is.
Talking about Zach Wilson quickly, wouldn't you say that we're winning despite him and not because of him?
Actually, I think there is a little nuance to what you just said. It's not really in spite of him, because a lot of the time when you say somebody, you're winning this in spite of somebody, you're basically saying that they're making mistakes and they're falling apart. Well, no, but in spite of all their mistakes. Yeah, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Turnovers, right? He's not throwing any.
Right, exactly. And this is the difference of the conversation. The conversation is like, oh yeah, despite him, he's not throwing the touchdowns. He's not creating the movement or the, you know, that you would want your offense to. But he's also not creating the negative plays that normally, you know, kind of restricts a team on a defense. So the hump, like, I think we had this conversation when we spoke about Quincy Williams. Quincy Williams was right on the cusp of becoming a great linebacker or being a good linebacker, right? He was right there. You see the flashes of who he was supposed to be and who we thought he could be. But he hadn't been consistent enough to say, hey, listen, this guy is a monster. But through six games this season, guess what? He's basically took a step forward, and he's kind of over the hump now where he's patient, which is something that I would like. Being a linebacker is something a lot of people don't talk about. And he shoots his gun when he needs to. He takes the correct angles to plays, and his in coverage, his timing and understanding of where he should be has risen to a level where we're like, well, that's the guy right there, right? to me, Zach Wilson is just right there. And I understand that that hump is massive because you have taken your game from being able to not turn the ball over, right? Which is what he's doing right now. And then flipping it to not turning the ball over and also scoring touchdowns where you're impacting your play-to-play, quarter-to-quarter team is incredible. So it you know, I don't want to make it into this small insignificant thing, but it's massive. So it's hard, it's difficult to envision Zach Wilson turning into this guy, right? But that's what he's missing. He's just missing punching the ball in more often than not. And in my opinion, that will come. And that's what we're waiting for. And that's the reason why we're thinking that the team is being held back. Because as good as the defense is, the offense is not really helping at this moment. Scoring 3 points is not really a thing. Oh. I mean, it's points, but it doesn't put fear in an offense. If you're scoring 7 points, offenses tend to change what they're doing to accommodate what's going on with your offense. And that to me, that hasn't happened. So that impacts the defense a little bit. Yeah, that's my vision, my view on what Zach has been doing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what? And when you look at even our last two games, the Philly game and the Denver game, both those games, the offense didn't play, or I should say Zach Wilson didn't play great at all.
Yeah.
Right? He was average at best. I hate even saying average because he's just not. Like you say, he's making the play here and there, and thankfully he's not turning the ball over, which is the most important thing. But it's been mostly the defense, even the Philly game. Without the defense making that big interception at the end of the game, most likely we're losing that game. Because here's the other thing. Has Zach Wilson taken our team down the field? Win a game?
And scored a touchdown, yeah. Oh. I don't remember that.
No, because Buffalo, no. We won with the walk-off punt return.
Yes.
Or kickoff punt return, yeah. And then the Denver game, defense. Philly, yep. Defense.
Defense, yeah.
So we have not.
It's his turn. Basically, it's his turn.
Right.
Zach Wilson, it's your turn, baby.
Yeah. Because it's your turn. It's great to win these games early, but you know late in the season, we're going to need him to win games for us.
But there's also a few things the team and the coaches, in my opinion, could do to help Zach Wilson. I think giving Ruckert a little bit more play would help.
Definitely.
I think a lot of those two tight end sets need to be Ruckert and
Conklin.
Conklin. Because it's no hate on Uzama, man. You know, I appreciate the guy. I think the guy has been a pretty good, solid player. But unfortunately, what he is now is more of inconsistency. It seems like to me, the youngin has been a little bit more consistent when he's gotten his snaps. Now, I think it should be handled the same way Huff was handled, where you up the tick of snaps little by little to let him prove himself per usage to see him grow. Right. You know, let him, you know, if you're giving him 20 snaps this game, give him 30, 40, give him 30 snaps next game. I'm not saying that much, but I'm just using the number just as a guidance. But I'm just saying you know, a few ticks up here and there every week because come on, man, in my opinion, the fact that this kid could block the way he could block, and that to me, there's an untapped potential at route, him letting him run routes. I think that we're just missing out. And I think there's a little bit of a stiffness to Uzama's game right now in running routes that I think that's kind of killing a lot of drives. I think we could use that extra tight end to be what we don't have at wide receiver right now, right. Which is someone that could get open and give Zach something of a security blanket or a target, a big target, especially in the red zone. So, yeah, I love it. I want that.
Yeah, somebody outside of Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, please.
Like our only receiving threat.
Yeah.
You know,
and the
They're just. So I think, and you know what, and the trade deadline coming up in about a week, right?
Yes.
On the 31st. And there's going to be some big names out there that are available. Right now, just you got to think of the guys from Denver, right? Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. You got
Those are the names. Yeah, those are the names that come up a lot. Yep.
The Titans, they're looking, they're moving on, it looks like, from Ryan Tannehill, because you got Levis starting this week. So
they have Willis and Levis starting this week. Yeah. But according to the coach, they both are going to be playing. The only thing I'm going to say is, if you're playing two quarterbacks, you ain't gotten one.
Right. And you know what? And they already traded Byard this week to Philly. So yes, you can see they're starting to turn that team over. So
they also, there's a controversy in Vegas with the usage of Hunter Renfrow, who his snaps has been cut every week. I think it's down to like 20% right now, where he's getting like about 20% of snaps. He's never played that's the least amount he's ever played snaps per game. So, you know, 20 snaps a game is not, that's that, you know. So
there's gonna be players out there that they could get. You know what I mean? There's gonna be players available.
Are they gonna entertain them though?
Right. That's the other thing. But I would think, like, listen, if the Raiders, like you said, if they're cutting this guy's snap count to next to nothing, they would be willing to listen to offers. Now, what are they going to want? I have no idea. Probably low draft pick. You know, maybe Denver might want a little bit more for Sutton. So we'll have to see. I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on for the next week. I'm sure by the time we record next week, I think we'll be past the trade deadline and we'll know, hopefully, we've added a player or two. So, let's get back to the Jets Giants. Like, what are some of the matchups you're looking forward to seeing?
I think ultimately the matchup we need to win is in the trenches. I think our offensive line against that defensive line. We're asking too much of McGovern and the middle of that offensive line to block Lawrence and Williams, you know, because to me, that's where their issue. To me, that if you take the middle of the Giants defensive line away, I think you have players on the edge that are talented, but what they do, they're pretty spotty in their performances. You know what I mean? They flash really well, but I think overall, they kind of fall short of what I think they could be, because at the end of the day, they're not showing up consistently enough. Where the Giants are consistently good is in the middle of that defense, in my opinion. If we could shut that down, I think that will give us time for Zach to operate, and I think their defensive backfield is for the taking if we could give Zach time to sit in the pocket. And I'm not talking, we don't need 10 seconds. We don't need 10 beats. You know what I mean? So I think I've said it before, that Zach shouldn't be holding the ball over 3 seconds. I think 3 seconds should be the least amount of time, the most amount of time. And that would be, to me, that's a little bit egregious in today's NFL. Especially when we're talking about, we don't have, you know, our starting tackles out here. I love the fact that that Mekhi Becton has been playing so well in the last couple weeks. He's been getting better and better. The Eagles game to me was somewhere where he kind of performed a little better than I thought he would. He kind of was a bully in the game, in pass rushing and in the run game. So in the run game and in the pass blocking game, he was. So I need the interior guys to step up in this game, in my opinion. They really need to, not only in the running game, where I think if we could do that, we could basically shove it down. I think if Hall is the one dominating this game. I think there's no answer. There's nothing they could do to us. Because to me, their weakness is in the pass game. And if we are able to come in and line up and punch them in the mouth running the ball, I think that would basically stop them. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, on the other side, their defense is very strong.
Yeah. True.
And their numbers, agreed, kind of, they line up pretty well with us, except for points. Obviously, they're giving up a little bit more points. But when you look at all the other, numbers, total yards against per game, the Jets are 24th with 351. The Giants are 23rd with 351. Passing yards against per game, we're both about the same. 216 for the Jets, 214 for the Giants. Rushing yards against per game, we're 26th at 135. Giants are 27th at 137. Sacks, we got 13. They got 11. Picks, we got a little bit more. We got 8. They got 4. But so their defense is pretty solid.
Yeah, context always matters, in my opinion. You know what I mean? If you line up the opponents that we've faced and the opponents they've faced, unfortunately, it does not match. It really does not. Right. But I'm not gonna stand here and tell you that they're not playing out of their minds, especially some of those linebackers are playing better than I've seen them play in a long time. In that system, what they're asked to do, I think at the end of the day, I think those linebackers are playing the best I've ever seen them play. And it goes back to what I said in the beginning. A lot of times for linebackers to fit their run fits and able to cover it, you need that defensive line to play at a high level. And that's what's happening for the Giants. That's the reason why a lot of times they're not leaving their linebackers exposed. You can't take shots at those guys. It's hard to climb up to the second level because their defensive line is playing so well, especially up the middle. So if we're going to win this game, we got to take that away from them. We got to dominate the middle of that defense. How we do it is all up to our offensive coordinator and what his plans are, either running or passing, to take advantage of the weaknesses, which they are. In my opinion, if you could get to these DBs, I think you could get them. They're there for the picking if you could get to them. The problem is the Giants have not allowed that because their front seven has played well enough to stop that from happening. So that'll be an interesting thing to see. Where our offensive coordinator goes, what is the plan here? So that would be an interesting thing.
Yeah, and I listen, and just going by the numbers, they give up a lot of rushing yards just like we do. So
yes,
we can attack. Obviously, we got the better running back, or at least a healthier one. We just don't know what Saquon is right now.
Yes,
but
listen. Yeah. Before we move on, I wanted to bring up because this is the perfect time to have a conversation about what our defense is, because we're spending time talking about what the Giants' defense is. After the Eagles game, most of us spent time. I think as a Jets fan, you thought you would probably spend a lot of time talking about how great this defense is, right?
Absolutely.
And you would say, like Chris just mentioned, if a lot of our numbers are comparable to what the Giants' defense is, we can't call ourselves elite, no? The thing is, our friend Michael Narnia from Jets X Factor has an article on the website, guys. Listen, if you don't know Jets X Factor, get a membership. It's probably the most comprehensive cover of the Jets right now on a website, man. I love those guys. Those guys are cool. I know I'm a play like a Jet guy. Scott is my guy, but I gotta give the flowers. Give credit for where credit is due, and Joe,
both
and
sides
Joe
of
and Mike, yeah. Joe and Michael, they do incredible work. But Michael Narnia had has an article up where he basically comes out and his question is, his thing is that the defense is great, but it's flawed. And I think that that's the issue, right? Because the Giants defense, like Chris just mentioned, has a ton of stats that mirror kind of what we have as a defense done, right? And yes, there is an incredible amount of excuses you could come up to kind of explain away the reason why the Jets defense is ranked as low as it is. The problem is, it shouldn't be low, as low, no matter what. I don't care. If you're going to call a defense elite, they cannot have these numbers. That's the problem. You know what I mean? It's just, right, it is what it is. If you want to be an elite defense, your numbers cannot be where the Giants' numbers are. That's just incredibly, I don't care who you play. It just matters what you're supposed to do. And you could tell me the offense is not helping. It does not matter. Chris and I had this conversation off air when we talked about Reed going out and calling them the whatever amount, what year it was, Bears and all this stuff. And I say, hey, man, you could say whatever you want. I will not stop you. But guess what? If you cannot put it on the field, I have every right to call you a buffoon. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Because if that's what you need to motivate you to get where you think you could be, I have no problem with it. But if you fall short, I don't know. You know what I mean? I gotta call you out. And there's certain things about this game to me where I think the Jets defense should just be able to take over easy. They definitely, if they are who they say they are, they should be able to. But shoulda, coulda, woulda. And we were going to talk about this NFL games from last weekend. And there's a lot of shooters.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of couldas. So, right. You know what I mean? So, again, Chris, you mentioned the stats for the Jets and where they place, where they are on defense. I think ultimately, I think they are a great defense. I love the fact that the linebacking has played at such, that's the part of that defense, in my opinion, that has risen. I think they have played to an extraordinary level. I think the prop, what's missing is the, and we saw more of it against the Eagles than to me we've seen all season, is the pass rush. I think the rise of the pass rush will take this defense to where we want it to be, but I think it hadn't been like that in the first half of the season before the bye. I think the two last games before the Jets went on the bye, you kind of saw them, they started peaking. I think they started getting to where they wanted to be to when they played the Eagles, but they hadn't been there. I don't think the pass rush was where we wanted to be. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I mean, they only got 13 sacks this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they got to improve. I know sacks is not everything. It's just a number. I get it. But when you look at other teams, the top teams in sack totals, Baltimore has 29 sacks this year.
Yep.
Right? We have 13.
Yep.
So they have,
we're way behind the sticks. Yep. It's true.
To me, that's
true. And but they're only, and even and Chris, if you could find the numbers of pressures, who's leading the league in pressures? I know the Jets are up there somewhere, but they're not where they should be either. Right. Because if you're gonna tell me that sacks are not everything, which I agree with, because sacks are a fickle thing. You know what I mean? There's guys that there is Chandler Jones, you know, who I, you know, pray for because he's going through a hard time right now. But he went for a run in Arizona where he basically was having, what is it, like about 13, 14 sacks every season for like about four seasons or something like that. That's right. Not something that happens. That's a rarity. Players normally do, what they do is they have these massive sack totals and they kind of fall short of it. They will go like 18 and then they'll fall to 12 and they'll fall to like 13 And then they'll have another 20 sack season. That's what the elite sack guys do, right? They don't hover around 20. No real, like, those are elite, like, not even elite. Those are guys that are like, we don't see them. Like, it's rare to see guys play for a long period of time, sacking people for around 20 sacks almost every season. That's unheard of. Even the best of the best didn't do it. So sacks are a fickle thing. Pressures is something that if your numbers are not up there in pressures and your numbers are not up there in sacks, we got to talk. And for me, the pressure for the Jets are up there. And to me, a lot of the reason why these numbers are up there is because of the last couple of games. So I'm encouraged. Like I said, I'm impressed with the linebacker play. We know that we're talented in at corner. I think there is an issue I have been banging the table for a long time. I love Whitehead. Love his energy. Love the way he plays to an extent. The missed tackles need to stop. It needs to stop. The fact that he's ultra aggressive is a great thing as a football player, but the part of being a great football player is being able to be disciplined enough to break down or take the right angles. That is what Quincy Williams had been missing for years. That is why he wasn't performing the way we thought he could. Now you could see his angle, the way he's patient and the way he takes his angles changed his game. Whitehead needs to do the same. He is way too uncontrollable sometimes when he's approaching a runner or somebody that, you know, or when he's blitzing and he's always out of lap and he's like trying to arm tackle guys. In the NFL, that's not going to work. Or he's always trying to get a big hit. Stop that. Stop guys when you need to wrap up. This helps this defense immensely if you just wrap up and stop trying to hit people. You know what I mean? Yep. And yeah, so I'm not saying just for Whitehead. I think both safeties need to do that. And I should see the potential in Adams. Don't get me wrong. I see why the coaches love him. But the same thing goes for him. You know, they need to be more sound. If this team is going to be an elite defense, the safeties need to be more sound. And we know the corners are fine, in my opinion. They're good. Michael Carter, too, is, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Sheesh. You combine him with Williams and Mosley. And, oh, man, this dude is a problem. The middle of the second level of the Jets defense is incredible right now. Incredible. You know, so I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue with even Gardner. I have an issue sometimes with the angles he takes. Sometimes he has to be more of a sound tackler. I think when guys like Whitehead do those missed tackles, I think it kind of draws attention to all this stuff a little bit more. So anyway, that's to me a little bit of snippet of what Michael Nania had, you know, about the article about the floor defense. I did not go into length about what exactly he thought it was. If you want to find out, sign up to Jets X Factor, man. Go see my friends Michael Nania and Joe Blewett over at Jets X Factor, because this dude, they really do good work over there.
Definitely. And I think you said it perfectly. This game is going to be decided right down, obviously, line of scrimmage, right? I think with both teams, especially the Giants, how bad their offensive line is. The Jets have to take full advantage of that. Have to. They have to be in on it. And we don't know. It doesn't look like Daniel Jones is going to start. He hasn't been a full
participant. He still hasn't been cleared, yes.
Yeah, so he's practicing, but he's not in contact.
Yeah, he's not cleared for contact, right.
So I don't think he's going to play. I mean, unless he gets better tomorrow or Friday. So expect it to be Taylor. If it's Tyrod or Tyrod Taylor, whichever way you want to say it. If it's him, I mean, the Jets going to have to go off. And if either way, because if Daniel Jones does play, he hasn't played in a couple of weeks, coming off a concussion or the neck, or whatever it is, they got to take advantage. I can't see the Jets losing this game. Even it might be a low scoring game. Like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think the Jets got to win this game. Have to.
Yeah, I agree. At this point of the season, this is what we're talking about. Because listen, the celebration about being 3-3, right? Because nobody thought without Aaron Rodgers in house, we would ever get to this level, right? This is over with. We had our little moment where we were like, look at what we did. Hey, it's over. You know what I mean? The second half of the season is where we show people exactly who we are as a team. And not we, because I'm not a football player, never been, as the Jets have ever always been. That it's the time for the Jets to show who they really are. And there's some players that are busting through the seams, man. Jermaine Johnson has been an absolute monster. You know what I mean? And the crazy thing about the way this kid is playing right now is the fact that, in my opinion, his pass rushing has been okay. Imagine if he takes his pass rushing from okay to actually good. What do you do with that? This is what I'm saying. So as offenses come in and they're game planning for Huff and they're game planning for Quinnen, right? And then there's the emergence of JJ. And you know JFM is a monster. And when he's on the field, you got to pay attention to him because he'll blow up your tackle. He'll blow up your guard. He'll blow up your center. You don't ever know where he's going to line up. So to this is the crazy part about this thing. As much as we, you know, I will say that they're not where they want to be, and I know they're feeling it the same way, you know, I think that there's so much room to grow, both offensively and defensively. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, and I just can't wait. I can't wait.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? It might start this week, right? Especially if we get Sauce Gardner back and DJ Reed. So that I think, yeah, I totally agree. Against this offense, against the Giants offense, this is a time where the Jets can take advantage and take that next step. Or at least towards that next step, and be, yeah, we're going to be elite. Yeah, this is the game where you give up, you know, 15 points, not even. You give up less than that. You know, you get like four, five sacks, you know what I mean? You got to put up big numbers this week, I think.
Yeah, I was checking. I don't know if I mentioned it. Like, the Giants have been giving up a lot of sacks lately, and I thought that the Giants had given up a lot, given up the most sacks, but they're not. There's somebody that's beaten them by a lot, and it's the Commanders, and they've given up 40 sacks, bro. 40 sacks in the last 7 games. 19 sacks in the last 3. Come on! That's atrocious.
Yeah, so the Jets got to take advantage. Have to.
Yeah, yeah, the Giants are not...
Right, it's basically a home game for them. They're at home. They're just not all the Jet fans will be there, but should have a decent amount. But listen, let's get into the NFL because
yes, let's do it.
Last week was one of the craziest weeks I think we've ever seen, ever in the NFL. Just the games, some of the scores. I mean, we were texting back and forth a little bit, like, what's going on here? Right. I mean, we've seen some scores that really did not make any sense. Buffalo losing at New England 29-25. Cleveland barely beating the Colts 39-38. I mean, and after Cleveland, after we've seen the first few weeks with Cleveland and their defense, I still don't understand how that game got to be 39-38. And they should have lost because they got a couple of calls going their way too. Baltimore 38-6 over Detroit. I mean, some of these games were just Me, I'm still stunned by some of these games.
Yeah, the Ravens Lions game is crazy. The fact that the Ravens destroyed a team that had been so hot for a while now that people were ready to crown, right? Because we also had the conversation about their QB and how hot he'd been and how great they had looked and how good they had looked on defense, one of the best run stopping defenses in the NFL and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Man, listen. Listen, when you smell your own self, when you read your own material, you know, sometimes you get confronted with the bully and, you know, and you realize that you ain't the bully. You thought you were.
Yep.
But you just not. This is not a shot at the Lions, because I think the Lions are still a really good team. I just think that this is the game that we had been asking the Ravens to play for a while. We had been talking about the emergence of when would it emerge? When would the signs, the you know, what Monken had mixing in the background, you know what I mean? All the potions he had mixing in the background. When would that show up? You know what I mean?
Right.
I think we questioned Lamar a little bit. He was a little, you know, he was, you know, running around a little bit more. I think the fact that we didn't see all the passing that we were promised, or we thought we would come out of that, of this Monken led offense. And for the first time this season, we saw it. Because guess what? No matter what you say, first things first, Lamar Jackson is a quarterback. He's actually a quarterback. You know what I mean? And when he's looking, you know what, you know why he's a quarterback? Because when his wide receivers catch the ball, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. So that's the craziest thing. If you go back the last couple of weeks before this game, he was getting the ball to these guys. Those guys were just not catching the ball. That's the difference. And you saw the emergence of all the talent that they injected into this offense because of Lamar Jackson. We know what this tight end for the Ravens is. He's one of the best tight ends in the NFL. We can't stop him. That's a given. Yeah. When the guys around that offense, when the wide receivers start getting open and catching balls, it makes him 10 times more difficult to stop. Because then, as an offense, you don't have... Basically, it's like shooting at a moving target. You know, and the fact that a lot of what he did this against the Lions was not these fastballs that you see a lot where he gets the ball quickly to somebody, but it was a lot of patience, a lot of layered balls where he kind of had to throw it between a safety and a linebacker. Impressive performance by Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, but also incredibly incredible performance by that offensive line, man. Like, dang. Oh my goodness. They massacred that defense. The defense that we said that had been so good at stopping the run. They had no answer, especially for the middle of the Ravens offensive line. They could not get pressure on Lamar Jackson. There was a couple of plays where Lamar Jackson seemed like he was standing there for like about 7 to 8 seconds. That's unheard of. it's like, man, I got all day. It's like looking at his nails. It's like, you know, you know what I mean? So, and you can't give a former MVP that much time to throw the ball. Are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, the Ravens performed at a hell of a, and if they could keep doing that,
I tell you, their defense surprised me more than their offense, because I always thought their offense could do this. I don't know. I didn't see them shutting down Detroit this much. You know what I mean? Giving up 6 points to the Lions. Yeah. I thought Detroit, you know, at least put 20 points up, you know, 38-20. Still would have been a blowout and still an impressive win, but I didn't see 38-6.
I didn't see that either, bro. I don't think anybody see that. I think there were a lot of people that cried they probably lost a ton of money betting on that game. Well, but we'll talk about people lost a lot of money the whole weekend. So, you know.
But there was also, like, fantasy-wise, you know, you're expecting Detroit to put up some points for you.
Yes.
Jared
yes.
Goff threw for 284, but no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
Gibbs finally got some carries, 11 carries, 68 yards. He scored a touchdown. You know, but otherwise, it was a quiet game for Detroit offensively. No, I mean, six
it was
points the whole game.
That's crazy.
That really surprised me more than how good. Because, listen, we've seen Lamar Jackson play well. Like, obviously,
yes.
MVP. We've seen him. This year, he was supposed to take that even higher step into, like, pretty good pass, you know, pretty good passer. Not just Lamar Jackson, the guy who could create and run and, you know, and come up with big plays. I mean, this was the year that he was supposed to take that big step as the passer, Lamar Jackson, and under Monken, you know, the new OC. And so far, you know what? Like you said, this is the game that we were expecting Baltimore to play. I just was not expecting it to be against Detroit.
Against the Lions. Yeah, exactly.
That's the part that got me. Another game, you know, like Sunday night, the Sunday night game, Philadelphia against Miami. Philly got a couple of really, again, another horrible officiating game. I mean, two or three plays that were just so obviously bad. Like even the people, you know, even the guys on TV were saying it was bad. But just watching that game, just seeing how Miami with that offense, with Tyreek Hill, that man is just, when you watch him, he's just you just can't cover that guy.
Hmm.
It's like if a really fast runner was playing in college against a Division II team. You know, like, it's just, I'm like, it's mind-boggling because you're seeing, like, pro players just trying to chase this guy the whole game. He's wide, you know, like, he's wide open at times. It's like, I don't know.
Wide open, but when he catches the ball, right?
Oh,
there's, like, God. There's two guys right next to him, and they're all running. But right. He starts running, and it's almost like they're standing still.
Right. It's incredible. I mean,
crazy.
I don't think Miami's defense is going to be good enough to get them to the Super Bowl, but this is a dangerous team offensively because, of course, the Tyreek Hill. And we're not even talking about the other guys, right? We're not even talking about Waddle. We're not even talking about their running backs. You know, Tua, all Tua has to do is get it to these guys. That's all he has to do.
And therefore, that's the weakness,
yeah.
If you would say, if there's a weakness of the team. Well, that's a weakness of almost every offense, right? Because I don't care how good you are as a quarterback. If you get pressured, guess what? You know, quicken your response, quicken your decision-making, get the, you know, this also always causes issues for, I don't care which quarterback it is, it always causes issues for them. So I think the Eagles were able to do that. I think the Eagles were, of course, you know what they could do up front. They were able to get in Tua's mug, force him to make decisions a little quicker than he wanted. I think that played a big part in the reason why they could not fight back. Yes, there were bad calls. And like you always say, bad calls are one thing, but if you can't, bad calls cannot be the reason why you lost the game.
No.
You gotta overcome that. And especially if they are that offense, that dangerous offense that we say they are and everybody say they are, I think they could have. But I think that number one thing, there's another force on that field. There was another force on that field, and it was A.J. Brown. And, first player in a long time to have 125-plus yards in five or six straight games. Come on, man. Come on. Like, can't do nothing with that guy. He's too big. He's too fast. And they're willing to give him the ball over and over again. That's a problem, you know. And the Eagles have that as, you know, that's one of the reasons why they are who they are. The other reasons are the fact that they have the best defensive line and the best offensive line in the NFL. So you have these things and together, and yes, they perform, you know. To me, the Eagles have still not put together a complete game. That's the scariest part about it.
Yeah.
They haven't.
Lost.
You know? and you're like, hey, when they have like about 13 interceptions or whatever, and you're like, hey, you know, two, you know, he's not playing too well, and you know, and all that stuff.
he'll even admit it, right?
Jalen. Yeah. Great. But guess what? They've won how many games?
They're exactly. 6-1. They're 6-1.
There you go. That's all. That's all that matters.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day. So, you know.
I did, well, the other game had this that shocked me too. Was Monday night. I mean, we always joke about Kirk Cousins and primetime games, and he was playing against San Fran. San Fran coming off a loss the previous week, then they lose to Minnesota.
Chris.
Yeah.
Listen.
Explain.
You remember the movie? There's one of these movies that every time it comes on the television, I watch. I think it's called The Wraith. With the Dodge Interceptor, the dude is the ghost that comes back and races all the guys that killed him. I don't know if you remember the movie, but anyway, the reason why I brought the movie on, the reason why I brought it up is the fact that, you know, I just don't understand, you know.
I don't. There's no explanation for this game.
There's not too much understanding. Because how are you, the Vikings, right? You have not rushed for a touchdown all season. In this game, you rushed for about 72 yards, right? Which is crazy, because if you watch the game, the first play out of the bat, Madison goes for like about 16 yards. You're saying to yourself, oh my God, the Vikings are going to rush the ball a lot this season, right? I mean, this game against the 49ers. Because apparently the 49ers are soft right now, right? So you're saying they're soft right now. So they're, you know, Madison's going to run down their throats, right? 8 carries for 39 yards.
Yep.
8! Cam Akers, 10 carries for 31 yards. In all, 72 yards.
Right.
Right? You would think a team that could not, was so one-dimensional, they had their quarterback throw for 45 times, that there's no way they would be able to beat an elite-level defense like the San Francisco has shown themselves to be. And just like that movie I just mentioned, that has no explanation, come out of nowhere, perform at a big level, and just disappear. That's basically what the Vikings did. Kirk Cousins, for the first time in prime time, 378 yards, 2 touchdowns.
All right, here's the question. 1 interception. Back to you.
Go ahead.
2 straight weeks now, Brock Purdy did not perform so well. Now this week, yes, it looks like he's going to be out. He's in concussion protocol. So it's going to be Sam Darnold starting this week.
Yes.
Are you worried about Brock Purdy at all?
A little bit. A little bit. Because confidence has a lot to do with this game, man. I don't care what it – like, if you're watching the football, you can't tell me. I don't care how good you are. You have to be able to put together a specific amount of plays and times. You have to be able to do stuff. If you're able to watch this, right? So your coordinator calls a series of plays, right? These series of plays, there's at least 2 or 3 of them that you're iffy about, right? And there's 2 or 3 of them that you're confident about. Hell yeah, those are my guy, right? So you go 1 play you like, 2 plays you like, you complete both of them, looks shiny, and then all of a sudden you look up, and it's a play that you do not like, right? And you're not that comfortable with. Guess what? Your confidence plummets, right?
Yep.
Your confidence plummets. And now the only way you could move forward is if you could kind of drive your way through that obstacle. And I think NFL quarterbacks, they go down to what is the basic part of the play. That's what lets them get through these plays that they're not too happy about, it they're not really comfortable with. And I think the issue with the thing with Purdy is right now is there's a couple things about his game that's a little bit like that. This is just my opinion that he is a little bit is not as confident
right
now as he was when it all started. And I think when everybody's healthy and they get him back on the field, I think it's going to be fine. But you got to watch this because this is a break. This is a make or break it point for a player, you know, because the reason why he was flying high was because everything he tried was working out. Well, you know, you adversity, you have to. This is the freaking NFL. At some time, you got to come face to face with adversity, and this is it for him.
And you know,
let's
what?
See what happens after this.
And you know what? They got Cincinnati this week at home, which is going to be a tough game. And Sam is quarterbacking. And then the following week is a bye week. So let's throw a quick scenario out there. Sam Darnold has a good game. They win. They go into the bye week. Purdy gets healthy. Does Sam start? Or does
Purdy starts.
Purdy starts.
Purdy will always start. The reason why is because he's done it for longer. He's done it for longer, and I think Shanahan has a little bit of a track record where he sticks with the guys. He sticks with the guys that he likes, and the guys he, you know, he's confident in. So,
and listen, this
at the end of the day, I think it's Purdy starts.
This schedule after the bye is not easy. At Jacksonville, home against Tampa, at Seattle, at Philly, then back home against Seattle, at Arizona, back home against Baltimore, at Washington, and then the Rams. So they got that, the beginning, those first 4 or 5 weeks where they got Seattle and Philly. Seattle, Philly, Seattle is going to be tough for them.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, man. You got to be running in all cylinders playing those teams. If you're not, they're liable to embarrass you, in my opinion. So,
they can't lose 3 in a row going into the bye week.
No, and as much as we're conversating about the 49ers and how they didn't play up to par, I think we got to conversate about the Vikings defense and what the former Dolphins defensive coordinator coach has done to raise the play, the level of play in the Minnesota on defense. Of course, his, you know, tail of the tape is always, hey man, he'll blitz you to death. We're gonna face one of those coaches in Wink Martindale this weekend who just incredible, that loves to bring pressure. That's what he does. That's his thing. They, guess what? That's the same thing the Vikings defensive coach does. He loves to blitz. And the thing about blitzing teams is they also access what is called phantom pressures because they pressure you so much that they could also do this thing where they act like they're going to pressure you. And you're waiting for it to come, but it never gets there. And normally that means somebody is somewhere that you weren't counting on them being. And you throw an underneath ball right into the arms of a linebacker or something like that that has gotten a little deeper into a zone than you thought that he shouldn't or he couldn't. You know what I mean? So Minnesota's defense has been playing lights out every week. They've been getting a little better and a little better. And that was quite a performance against the 49ers. I think the 49ers did not see that coming. And I think that's where they kind of fell apart. That was their worst, in my opinion, if you got to say it, that was their worst performance. And in my opinion, they still weren't too far away from winning that game. That's right. The crazy thing.
Right. That's how we know how good San Fran is, right? I mean,
yes. Yeah.
You'll say San Fran is the best team in the league or second or third. You know what I mean? They're top two or three team in the whole league. So, but the Brock Purdy situation could get ugly, right? If after the bye, if he's playing, you know, I'm going to assume he's not playing this week. So they go into the bye, he'll be fine after the bye, say. He's got to perform those first couple of weeks because it's going to get rough after that. So they got to get their quarterback situation straightened out.
Becomes a problem, yes.
Any other games you want to talk about week 7, or you want to get into week 8?
So we spoke about the Browns game, right?
Little bit.
Yeah. So, of the games I wanted to talk about, I want to kind of point out Puka Nacua for the Rams and what he's doing over there. Having over 700 yards receiving. The fact that this kid is doing that with the kind of wide receiver he has right next to him that's just starting to become healthy, and the seasoned veteran and Super Bowl winner at quarterback, I think it's kind of crazy. I know the Rams are young on defense, and because of that, you know, highs and lows, but on offense they're a scary team. On that same game, the Rams against Steelers, I don't know if we talk enough about the Watt brother over there in Steeler land, because this guy is ridiculous. This guy is a monster. I mean, I don't know whichever other adjective you describe to a scary, you know, a scary, high performing defensive player on the edge. He is that. You gotta understand what this guy is doing, right? He has two moves that he does on defense that lets him win and get sacks. And because everybody knows he's gonna do them, and they don't know which one is coming, when it's coming, and because of that, and he's so good at doing both of them, he kills them. Then all of a sudden, he has an interception where he's playing in coverage. He drops into a zone with a slot receiver, notices that the concept gives him kind of a free rein a little bit. So he passes off the slot receiver, falls underneath the pass for the boundary wide receiver, and picks it off. What are we doing? What are we talking about? This is an edge player playing coverage on that level? That's crazy. That doesn't make any kind of sense, in my opinion. This is a high level, a high performing defensive player, and kudos to him, man. We got to give him this kids his flowers. We got to also talk about the fact that the Titans are falling apart. All of a sudden now the coach says that he's gonna start Levis, but also Willis is gonna get started too. You know what they say? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. That's basically what's going on.
Yeah.
That's basically what's
before either. So
yeah. So I think that's one. The Raiders is a mess. Raiders are a mess. You had a D2 athlete that had never started in the NFL come in and beat you. Was efficient, 21 for 29, 162 yards and a touchdown. And they run the hell out of effectively run the ball with Foreman to beat them. The Bears beat them, the Raiders. That's not a good look. The Raiders, and now there's leaks coming out saying that the players are not real happy. Why does that always happen? wherever former Patriots coaches go, everybody's like, man, listen, this is not New England, man. Don't bring this New England crap over here. Right. You know, we're not falling for that. And this old school kind of offense, we're not for that. There's all these leaks coming out of players talking crap about the coach. But that's it. That's the games I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into week 8 games. We don't have to get into each game, but we'll just Tampa at Buffalo starts us off Thursday night.
Tampa had been offensively they struggled a little bit in the last couple of weeks. We saw a little bit of Baker Mayfield's kind of, you know, weaknesses fall apart a little bit. But we also saw the fact that Todd Bowles is still one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, and they have the talent to show it. So they're also always going to be a problem to deal with. I'm sorry, who are they playing again? Sorry about that.
Tampa is playing at Buffalo.
Yeah, and Buffalo, Chris and I, we've been beating this dead horse for a long time. this cannot be Josh Allen offense. This cannot be a prime. You cannot ask this guy to be 80% of your offense. It's not going to work. He's not that guy. I'm sorry. People could say whatever they want. I've seen enough of Josh Allen to tell you that he's not the guy that you want to have him throwing 50 times for that game. He is not going to win you that game. You have to create a running game. They do this thing where they run the ball a couple times, and then they give Josh Allen the ball. He gets a couple big plays, and they go, oh, yeah, we got Josh Allen. And Josh Allen plays the whole game, and they probably run the ball once or twice for the rest of the game. I don't understand where that comes from. And if you do that against that Bucs defense, man, you're going to go home with your tail between your legs.
Yep. And then starting us off on Sunday, yeah, it's an interesting – just to pick a team. Buffalo should win, but I think it's going to be a tough game for them anyway.
Yeah, if they do this thing where they're not balanced, if Josh Allen is a superstar, if you give him a balanced offense, you run the ball properly, have teams respect the running game, yeah, and then you see the emergence of his talent. Because if you're just going to allow him to be the one number one threat, teams are going to prey on that, in my opinion. So, no, I'm not with that. I'm gonna pick the Bills because they should, even right. If I just said should have could have, but I'm gonna stick with the Bills on this one.
Yeah,
I think the next game we should talk about is the Rams Cowboys.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be an interesting game. I mean,
yeah, yes,
I feel like the Rams are not quite there.
Yeah, like I said, youth in the back on that defense on and there's youth on that offense too, but I think the guy running the driving the train on offense, I think he's just enough. And that's a scary proposition as a Cowboy fan. If you're playing a team that could just get hot on you in a second, and you know what they could do to you. So that's gonna be an interesting game, in my opinion. If the Cowboys are who they think they are, they should be able to win this game. But they're not the Rams are not gonna be handing them that game though.
No, definitely not. No, I think another close game, but I think Dallas should win.
Yes.
What about Minnesota at Green Bay? Minnesota, we just talked about Minnesota. Green Bay,
yeah.
I don't know.
I still, again, as much as I will tell you, please explain to me what happened last week. Because, again, how do you not run the ball efficiently as much as they did, throw the ball almost 50 times and still win? Is that something you want to do every week? No.
No, definitely not.
I think the fact that they were able to play good defense is the reason why they won. And unfortunately for the Packers QB right now is just frazzled, man. He's a frazzled mess.
Yeah, he's
going into playing the Vikings defense that just is ready to gobble him right up, man. They will blitz and pressure this kid, and if they get to him early, he's gonna be a mess all game, and I think the Vikings are going to win this game, but I don't trust him right now.
Yeah. Atlanta at Tennessee. We talked about Tennessee, so Atlanta should take advantage of that one.
Yeah, Tennessee is falling apart. There's rumors of, you know, they traded their safety. There's rumors of Henry getting traded and all this stuff. Don't know how true that is. Again, we also spoke about the fact that they don't have a quarterback backup or whatever.
Right.
That's a great question. So yeah, I'm not really. I respect the hell of that front seven, especially that D line. But no, I'm not with Tennessee right now.
New Orleans at the Colts.
By the way, before you move on, mm-hmm. as much as I just remember the stat I happened to see. The Falcons need to do something. Ridder needs to do something. They need to get the ball out of his hand or something, because do something about that. get the ball out of this guy's hands, please. This is not good.
No.
Yeah. Not.
So what do you think? New Orleans at the Colts. I would think the Colts should win.
New Orleans have been playing good ball. The problem is that issue on offense that we're having, where it seems like they're having difficulty gelling with that new quarterback. You know, it looked like a disagreement between the wide receivers and the quarterback. Maybe the quarterback is being a little bit too heavy handed. You know how it is with the young kids nowadays. You can't say nothing to them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Great yet.
You know,
I mean, he's been okay. But
the craziest thing is he has an incredible talented wide receiver room. I kept saying that they're using Hill as a tight end, and I just think Hill is not the kind of tight end they're looking for. I think he could do certain things, but I just don't think he could be exactly what they need him to be on the outside. With the emergence of Thomas and they have the other kid there, the other really fast kid that could blow the top off of defenses, I think. And then the kid out of Ohio State, too. I think they're just incredibly talented outside. It's up to Carr to what they're going to be.
Because their defense is good.
Yeah, that's a really great defense. The Saints' defense is good. They could do a lot.
Can the Patriots make it 3-0, 2-0, excuse me, as they travel to Miami? But Miami always gives them problems, so.
And it just happened that Miami needs this game.
Yeah.
Miami needs a game to get well. And the team that they always pick on the most just happened to be coming into town. Sheesh. Yeah. It does not look good for the Patriots, man. No. It really does not.
This should be a good game. Jacksonville at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. I talked about how good he is, but who else is gonna step up? That's the question, you know. And there's not enough of that going on. I think Pickett is a flashy guy where he'll show you one or two throws here and there, especially when you know he's throwing the ball to Pickens, who we've known for a long time how talented this kid is, but. Overall, I think in a game like this, I think the style of the Steelers, where they just want to be able to take you down into, you know, a wrestling, you know, let's just wrestle, man, because I've been doing this for a minute. You know, I'll be able to hold you down for a little longer than you can because I'm a little bit more seasoned at doing this. If the Jaguars come and the Jaguars take a lead and they were able to run away with this game early, I think it's a bad look for the Steelers. I think if the Steelers could take them into this, you know, really 3-point lead type of game, you know, 7-3, 10-7 game, I think that's where the Steelers could come back like they did last week and kind of just, you know, beat the Jaguars. But I think it's possible that, so I'm going with the Jaguars because I just think the Jaguars are going to come out and kind of dominate a little bit early and come out probably set, you know, be up, you know, something like, you know, 17 and the Steelers having only 7 points on the game, on the field.
We haven't seen Jacksonville play great yet. And
you're right. Sorry. Yeah.
Philly goes to Washington.
I was looking for the numbers. I'm going to tell you what the numbers are right now. Most sacks allowed in the last two seasons by a team. The Commanders, 88 sacks. Ooh. The Giants, 86 sacks. That's all I'm going to tell you. You're going to face the Eagles. The first time they played them this season, they played them pretty well, even if the Eagles won. Right now, the way they're struggling, no. The Eagles are going to eat them up.
Houston travels to Carolina. Carolina's still looking for their first win.
Yeah, Houston is like they're so smooth right now. I like what the kid's doing on offense. I like where that defense is going. Even if they're inching there, I think I like the appearance of what that coach wants them to do. You could see it coming out of their pores. They're very aggressive, really talented up front, young guys that I think that flash here and there. I take Texans, man. I don't see the Panthers winning this game yet.
Here's a good one. Cleveland at Seattle.
The only thing that's holding Cleveland back is the fact that they ain't got no QB.
Yeah, something's up with Deshaun Watson. I don't know if he's is he looking to get out of there already? Like, is he saying, "Oh,
I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. I really can't. I'm just, you know, everybody's saying like he might have a low pain tolerance and all this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't know, man. You know, and that's the craziest thing, right? When you can't trust you know somebody's broken your trust. You know what I mean? I know that you really like potential. You don't really have, or we don't really have a skin in the game when it comes to Deshaun Watson. We're not his friends. We're not his family. We're not even, you know, we're not anywhere close to this guy. But the crazy thing about it, Chris, is that, you know, when a guy that has been, you know, trustworthy, or you thought of as trustworthy, and then he goes through what he went through, then you don't really believe almost anything he says anymore. So that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you think the way you think right now. That's why you're thinking, hey, maybe this guy wants out. And maybe that's not the case, you know. But
something's up there.
Yeah, it's just odd.
Just remember, he did this with the Texans too, right? He signed that big extension. And then a couple of months later, we're talking about him, you know, wanting to get out of there. He'll never play for the Texans again. Remember, it was only.
I remember that. Months. Yeah.
Very strange with this guy. So, I don't know. Well, hey, you know what? Cleveland did this to themselves, so it's on them. If it does get to that point, but we'll see.
Yep.
Kansas City travels to Denver. I think Kansas City has an unbeaten streak against Denver. Coming in like 6 or 7 or 8 straight, if I'm not mistaken. Not that it'll matter, yeah. But
Kansas City. The crazy thing about Kansas City is there's two things that's working for them. That defense is playing the best they've played in a long time, and the emergence of the Chiefs wide receivers right now. To me, if you would have a question in that this coming into this season, one of the things you would say is who would be the one at wide receiver that would start stepping up, right? That's what you would say, right? And there's these kids signed to play football for the Kansas City Chiefs that they're starting to show up. So, you know, I think the fact they could run the ball with Pacheco, who is incredibly powerful. You know what Kelsey could do. And then you have this kid that Rishi Rice or whatever his name, that's, you know, emerging. Yeah. That's a weapon right there. And I just like the Chiefs on this game.
Yeah, that looks like an easy one. Baltimore at Arizona.
As scrappy as Arizona is, they don't have a chance.
Yeah, no. I think Baltimore wins this one pretty easy too. This is the good. We talked about it a little bit already, but Cincinnati at San Fran. I think it's a big game for both teams, really.
Yeah, very big game for both teams. Cincinnati needs this game because they need to keep digging themselves out of the hole they dug themselves into early in the season. The 49ers need to instill more reinstill the confidence that we all had in them. They need to do that.
Cincinnati's coming off a bye too, so I think that's going to help them.
Especially
with Burrow's calf and all that. So this is a big game. Sam Darnold's quarterbacking, excuse me, for San Fran. So huge game. And then Sunday night, this is, I don't know, when do they start flexing games on Sunday night?
Normally later in the season, no?
I know they said they were going to start doing it earlier. I just don't know how early, but This week would have been the week to do it because the Bears are traveling to the to LA to play the Chargers. if the Chargers lose this week, they should fire the coach. Don't let him walk out.
Number one, the coach is a defensive coach. So the fact that he can't get these big name players on defense that he has to buy into his system is incredible for me. So to me, that's a major failure. Secondly, what in the hell are we doing with that with Herbert? Like, it seems to my eye that he's regressing.
Yeah,
that's not good. You know, so in all, they just a failure across the board, in my opinion. The craziest thing is that defense, right? They perform like, and they're a first half team on defense, flying around, making plays in the first half, and then the second half and the fourth quarter, it kind of disappeared.
Yep,
I don't know. That's kind of odd.
This is
what is that
for Herbert?
Yeah, four. Yeah, that's not yeah.
Better than this. The whole team's got to be better. It's not just him, obviously, but yeah, but the Chargers got to win that. And then Monday night, another kind of iffy game. The Raiders, that's not going well, and they're playing Detroit. They're going to Detroit, so I think that game could get ugly because, you know, Detroit's coming off that ugly loss. You know their coach was on them all week this week.
Oh, yeah.
So Detroit's going to come out fired up.
Oh, most definitely. You know that. That's what they stand on, right? That fire, man. They you know, they feed off the energy their coach brings. That's one of the reasons why I was so, you know, kind of, you know, taken aback by the way they performed against the Ravens. But a lot of games are made in the first quarter, and I think the way the Ravens played that first quarter, where they just basically took everything, that every punch that the Lions threw, they took it and they threw 10 back. I think that kind of threw the Lions through a loop. That's what you call a chin check. Do you got it? So this is the time for the Lions to show up, and if they are who we think they are, they should be able to come back to life and play a pretty good game this week.
Yeah, and you got, I think, Hoyer starting again. I don't know if Jimmy G's coming back. So even if he is back, I wouldn't give the Raiders a shot to win this one. So.
No. That's a bungled mess over there. Again, with the leaked contents about the coach and how the coach is trying to run New England on the West Coast. And ain't nobody have no time for no old school offense and all this crap. Yep. I don't know why, man. Every time a former New England coach goes somewhere, you hear this crap.
Yeah.
Which
one has worked out?
None.
Right.
None.
Now Belichick's nobody. Not really working out too well. So.
Yeah. Even if he signed a lucrative contract in the offseason. Hey. Yep. All right. Hey, no. Man, listen.
Very strange.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that's our preview for week 8. Hopefully, we're coming back next week with another victory podcast for you guys after the Jets beat the Giants. But we will see. Enjoy the games, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Actually, before we leave, Chris and I off air had been talking about kind of rearranging the way we do this. And we want to bring a little bit more news, be a little bit more clearer, be a little bit more specified in the way we approach NFL news. We love the Jets. We like talking about the Jets. I think we're always going to be a Jets forward podcast. But what we want to do is we want to kind of target more important parts of just not only the Jets and who they play, but also the NFL on the whole. And we're going to kind of slim this down a little bit, put this podcast on a diet and kind of target the more important parts of the games and the teams in the NFL. I hope you stick around with us, man. We've been doing this for a little bit. we know how to do this. I think we will enjoy the way we do it going forward.
I think so too. So hit us up next week and give us a try and let us know how do you like it. All right. So we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Take it easy, guys.